Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu, Perek 44. In the last perek, we learned about how Hashem mentions the positive things he will do to demonstrate that Nevuos are true. Yeshayahu specifically mentions the rise of Koresh and the defeat of Bavel. The end of the perek concludes with a rebuke that the Jewish people have not offered Karbanos properly, if at all. Because the last perek ended with a negative nevuah, this perek begins with a positive nevuah. As we saw in the last perek, the division of the prakim is incorrect. The end of the last perek and the beginning of this perek are one unit and should not be divided. The last 8 psukim of perek 43, combined with 23 psukim from this perek, form the Haftorah of Vayikra. We will explain much of this perek according to the approach of the Sefer Mishpatot Zahav, which has both original ideas and is a compendium of other mefarshim. The perek begins with Yeshayahu telling the Jewish people that Hashem values them. This is not a contradiction to the harsh nevuos we have just read. Hashem chose Klal Yisrael and will not allow them to corrupt themselves. The punishment is there to allow them to receive their ultimate happiness, which requires a connection to Hashem. Like the last perek, this perek begins with Pasuk 1, V'yata, and now. The Navi is telling them to do tshuva now because of Yaakov Avdi, my servant Yaakov, and Yisrael Bacharti Vo, Yisrael, whom I chose. Their tshuva will definitely be accepted as the Jewish people are the children of Yaakov Avinu, who was Hashem's servant. Our goodness and potential to change is rooted in us from him and will never change. In addition, Hashem's choice of the Jewish people is eternal, just as Hashem is eternal. Hashem assures us that he is, Pasuk 2, Osecha v'yotzrecha mibeten ya'azrecha, the one who made you, the one who formed you from the womb, and the one who will help you. Hashem created Bnei Israel for a specific purpose from the very beginning. Since Hashem has chosen us for this purpose, there is no reason for us to fear that we will be rejected. He will help us reach his goal. The Geula is described as it has been in previous Prakim, as a time of the abundant flowing water. This perek adds, Pasuk 3, Etzok ruchi al zarecha v'uvirchasi al tzatzaecha. I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessings upon your offspring. The impact of the spiritual gifts will not just be experienced by the people, but will flow to the future generations who will be influenced by their parents' overflowing connection to Hashem. This connection will flow even outside of the immediate family. The Jewish people are spread among the nations, and there will be gerim even in these harsh conditions. The nations are compared to dry grass, and the Jewish people are compared to aravos, willows that require a lot of water. Pasuk 4, Vitzamchu v'vein chatzir, they, the gerim, will grow up in between dried out grass, ka'aravim al yivlei mayim, like willows that grow by water. The gerim will see the distinction between the nations and the Jewish people and will want to join the Jewish people. True spirituality, represented by the water, does not exist in their culture. The Pasuk then lists four groups who will come close to Hashem. The first group says, Pasuk 5, La'Hashem Ani, I am to Hashem. This group is the tzaddikim who are willing to sacrifice themselves on all levels to Hashem. About the second group it says, Yikra v'shem Yaakov. They call themselves by the name Yaakov. They are the minor children, the underage children of Rasha'im. They see what their parents are doing and go to connect to Yaakov, who is associated with his brother and had to fight against his brother Esav, even as a young child. About the third group, it says, V'zeh yichtov yado l'Hashem. They write that his hand is to Hashem. These are the Balei Tshuva, who recognize that the path they are on is evil, and they do tshuva. It is as if this group is writing a new story for themselves. Finally, the fourth group, Uvishem Yisrael Yechaneh, calls himself by the name Yisrael. These are the Gerim, the converts, who are proud to be called Jewish. Hashem now addresses those who do not serve him, who are not part of these four groups. The Navi first establishes why Hashem can make these pronouncements. Pasuk 6, Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, who was, is, and will always be, Melech Yisrael v'Goalo, the King of Israel and its Redeemer, Hashem Tzvakos, Hashem who has power over all parts of creation, Ani Rishon v'Ani Acharon, Umibaladai Ein Elokim. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. The idea being expressed here is the same as we say every day in Adon Olam. Hashem preceded all of creation and will be here when all creation ceases to exist. Nothing else in the world has any reality outside of Hashem. Hashem invites anyone who feels like they can do what Hashem has done in the past, present, and future to challenge him. Next, Hashem addresses his people. He encourages them to proudly state their ideals and their belief in Hashem. They stood at Har Sinai and saw the heavens. They had miracles when leaving Egypt. There was no one they should fear. The Mishpatot Zahav gives a mashal to explain why they should have no fear. Their position can be compared to an ambassador from Russia who goes to Poland or another country to declare his country's stance on an issue. He says his position with confidence, as he knows that he has the backing of his government and a strong leader behind him. We are likewise the ambassadors of Hashem, and we have the backing of Hashem, who is the King of all kings, who is the most powerful king. Hayesh Elo'ah mi baladai ve'ein sur bal yadati. Is there a God beside me? There is no other rock to depend on. I know not any. In Psukim 9-20, Yeshayahu details how foolish it is for people to believe in idolatry. Just as the miraculous existence of the Jewish people bears witness to the existence of an all-powerful God that exists beyond time and space, those who create and serve idols prove how worthless they and their creations are. The idols, Pasuk 9, Bal Yir'u Uval Yedu, don't see and don't know anything. The Navi continues to discuss how absolutely silly it is to serve idols. He wants to gather all the craftsmen who participate in this farce so that, Pasuk 11, Yifchadu Yevoshu Yachad, they can be afraid and ashamed together. How does one go about making idols? Yeshayahu takes us into the idol factory. To make a metal idol, a smith needs to get the coals hot. Then he uses other tools to shape the metal. It's a lot of hard labor. After a bit of time, Pasuk 12, the blacksmith ra'ev ve'in koach, lo shasa mayim va'yi'af. He's hungry, he has no strength, he drinks water and he feels faint. This blacksmith, making this all-powerful idol, needs a lunch break. Is it possible that what this man is making controls the whole world? Now we move over to the woodshop idol factory. The woodworker marks up the wood precisely with all the measurements. He is making a figure that is more beautiful than anything that the person has in his home, and it's going to sit in the home and not move. It's a nice piece of decor in addition to being an all-powerful god. Making a wooden idol is a long process. The craftsman had to plant a tree, water it, and cut it down. The wood is used for two purposes. Half the wood is used for fuel to heat the house and bake bread. The other half is used to make a god. Pasuk 17. Yiskadlo v'yishtachu v'yispalel elav v'yomar hatzileni ke'eli ata. He falls down to it and he worships it and he prays to it and says, deliver me because you are my God. He already used the best parts of the wood to help himself get a good meal and stay toasty warm. Then he makes an idol from the scraps and he asks it to help him. Despite what is clearly a ridiculous circumstance, the people don't see the contradiction of them creating their own gods. They can't understand why it is problematic. Pasuk 18, Kitach me'os enehem mehaskil libosam, for their eyes are smeared that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. In English, we would call this having the wool pulled over their eyes. The Yetzer Hara confuses their logic and makes them not see that which is right in front of them. How is it possible that a smart man would fall for this ridiculous kind of notion? The answer is Pasuk 20. Roeh efer lev husal hitahu. To a provider made of ashes, a deceived heart has perverted him. His yetzer hara, found in a person's heart, fooled him to think that his provider, the one who takes care of him, is a piece of wood which could be used both for worship and to be burned to ash as firewood. When a person does not look for Hashem in his life, v'lo yatzil es nafsho v'lo yamar halo sheker bimini. He shall not save his soul, and he shall not say, is there not falsehood in my right hand? Yeshayahu wants the Jewish people to understand what is happening with idol worshippers, so they do not fall into the same trap. Pasuk 21, Zechor Eli Yaakov, v'Yisrael ki avdi ata. Remember these things, Yaakov, and Yisrael, you are my servant. The only way to fight against this Yetzer Hara, which stops a smart person from thinking, is to remember that we are servants of Hashem on this earth, only here to do his will. Yeshayahu now moves on to a new nevuah about the Geula. The people may wonder, if they are already so far gone with their sin of Avodah Zarah, how will things change? Hashem tells them that he is willing to erase all their sins. He will help them. Pasuk 22. Machisi cha'av pisha'echa v'cha'anon chatosecha. I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions and like a cloud your sins. All they need to do is shuvu elai. Do tshuva. They should want to connect to Hashem and ki ge'alticha, because when people do tshuva, Hashem has saved you. After the gula described in the previous pasuk, Yeshayahu describes how the world will react, which is the last pasuk of the Haftorah of Vayikra. Pasuk 23, Ranu shamayim ki asa Hashem, sing heavens, for Hashem has done this. Hariu tachtios aret, pitzchu harim rina, ya'ar v'chol etzbo. You, the lowest parts of the earth, you mountains, burst out into songs, the forest and all the trees therein. They should sing because Hashem has brought the Geula to Yaakov. The next part of the Perek from Psukim 24 to 28 are actually the beginning of a new section which continues into the next Perek. This section discusses the salvation of the Jewish people after the end of the 70 years of Galus Bavel. This section is meant to reinforce belief in Geula, as no one can stop Hashem from doing that which he wants. Hashem chooses a human partner to carry out his plan. This section begins, Pasuk 24, Ko amar Hashem goalecha v'yotzercha mibaten. So said Hashem, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. According to Rashi, Yeshayahu is referring to Yaakov Avinu. Even in the womb, Esav was fighting with Yaakov and wanted to kill him. Hashem saved Yaakov throughout his life, from even before he was born. Just as Hashem saved Yaakov at the beginning of his life, when he had no merits, Hashem will save the Jews from Babel, despite them not earning the redemption. Hashem can decide to do this, as Hashem alone has created the heavens and earth. Although Hashem can save us because he wants to, the redemption following Galus Babel was not complete. The Jews needed the permission of Koresh to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and the construction started and stopped in spurts. The salvation from Babel was not predicted by any of the false prophets. They predicted that the Jewish people would never rise again, and that Nebuchadnezzar would reign forever. Pasuk 25, Mefer osos badim v'kosmim yeholel. He frustrates the sign of the impostors and makes the diviners mad. The Rambam writes in the Igeres Teman that this happens throughout the cycle of Galus and Geula. In Egypt, the sorcerers foresaw only glory for themselves. When Moshe was placed in the Nile by his mother, they thought that the savior of the Jews had been thrown into the river. At what they thought was the height of their power was actually the end of them. This happened in the times of Nebuchadnezzar as well. It will happen again in the times of Mashiach. When the nations assume that the Jews can never recover, is when Mashiach will come. In contrast to the predictions of the sorcerers, all the prophecies of the true Nevi'im will happen. Hashem is, Pasuk 26, Mekim Devar Avdo, upholding the word of his servant. When a tzaddik says something, Hashem has agreed to bring that proclamation to fruition. Chazal say, Tzaddik Gozer V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. A tzaddik makes a proclamation, and Hashem will make it happen. Yeshayahu said, Koresh will come to power, and so it will be. In addition, Hashem has sent Nevi'im to give us guidance and tell us what will happen in the future. Batsas malachav yashlim. And the advice of his messengers, these Nevi'im, he will complete. They have said that Hashem will cause Yerushalayim to be re-inhabited and the cities of Yehuda to be rebuilt, and that is what will happen. Next, Yeshayahu addresses Babel directly to tell them of their forthcoming downfall. Pasuk 27, Ha'omer Letzula. The Nevi'im said to Tzula. All the Mefarshim explain that Tzula is Babel. They were like a deep pool where all the water gathers, even when there was no water elsewhere. Babel gathered all the people, money, and power from everywhere in the world. Now, when Hashem says, Charavi, dry up, Venerosayach Ovish, I will dry up your rivers, Babel will lose everything. Instead, Koresh will gain power. Pasuk 28. Ha'omer leKoresh Ro'i. Hashem says to Koresh, you are my shepherd. Hashem is giving him the power to rule over Am Yisrael, who have been compared to Hashem's sheep. V'chol cheftzi yashlim. He, Koresh, will fulfill all of my, Hashem's, desires. Koresh is Hashem's messengers to complete that which Hashem wants. Le'mor lishlaim tibaneh v'heichal tivased. To say to Yerushalayim, you will be built, and the temple will have the foundation laid. Koresh sent the Jews back to Israel, but after they were sent, he stopped the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and only allowed the foundations to be rebuilt. This parak had a few sections. In the beginning, Yeshayahu promises Am Yisrael that there will be a Geula because of Hashem's deep love. At this time, the tzaddikim, Balei Tshuva, and Geirim will want to serve Hashem. Next, Hashem proved that serving idols is foolish. He promises that if we do tshuva, he will help us. Finally, the parak ends with telling us that Koresh will defeat Bavel and allow the Jews to return to Yerushalayim to begin laying the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. When we read the section about idol worship, we need to ask ourselves, why is it so important? Only the nevuos that are relevant to all generations are included in the Nevi'im. There were many times that there are nevuos in the times of the Nevi'im that were not recorded for posterity. This question is intensified because the Anshei Knesset Gedola had the desire to worship idols removed at the beginning of the Second Temple. They knew that this drive to serve idols was overwhelming, so they begged Hashem to remove it from them. This parak is teaching us that although the drive to worship a stone or a piece of wood is gone, the impulse to act outside of Hashem's will still exists. We are still drawn to our base desires, be it food, lust, wealth, or fame. The Chovos HaLevavos even says that man makes their stomach their god. People will do anything to enjoy themselves, including risking their lives. Even though we do not have an unquenchable desire to serve idols, the Yetzer Hara can get us to ignore logic and our instincts that we will sin. In the Gemara's Sanhedrin, it relates how Rav Ashi asked Menasha, the son of Chizkiyahu, in a dream, why he worshipped idols. Menasha and his friends were smart. What made him serve what were essentially sticks and stones? Menasha replied that if Rav Ashi had been there, he would have picked up his hem not to trip, to run to serve Avodah Zarah. What Menasha was saying was that during the first Beis HaMikdash, serving idols was not a logical service. It was a taiva, a desire, like any other desire or addiction that people get sucked into today. Rav Ashi was approaching the issue using logic and knowledge, thinking that that could combat the desire. Menasha told him that when it comes to desires and lust, the Yetzer Hara can outsmart anyone. Only by working on one's fear of Hashem will a person be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara for things that we desire. Thank you for learning together, Lilay Nishmas Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.